And it's time now on Books Plus for our occasional series showcasing the work of emerging writers. Today there's an SF flavour from Robert G. Cook. Rob is an English expat who lives in Brisbane. And in a reversal of the standard beginner writer's bio, Rob's day job as a registered nurse actually has him working full-time nights, leaving him free to write in daylight. He counts Rosemary Sutcliffe and Alan Garner as his earliest writing influences, and M. John Harrison and J.G. Ballard as his current idols. I recorded this reading at Avid Reader Bookshop in Brisbane. Robert G. Cook.
This is a short scene from a work in progress, a novel about a city called Kirahan. On a hot, still temple day, Alexei finds himself savouring the shade between the columns of the hypocampanile. Matthias has found him too and is sitting next to him on the cool stone. While the boy scratches shapes in the dust with a chip of marble, Alexei tries again to remember the proper ending to Haruki the Pungent Fisherman, the story he miserably failed at telling at Mormal's Tavern the previous evening. There is a long, companionable silence. Then, Alexei? Yes, Matthias? What is Kirahan for? The city? It is for us to live in. A stray goat clops past in the street, unbelled and recalcitrant. It stops and gives them a gimlet-eyed stare, bleats once and moves on. Alexei? Yes, Matthias? Why does the city have walls? The walls are to keep the desert out. An odour of old meat and dead marigolds follows the goat along the street. From around distant corners sounds an incoherent tolling of clay bells. Alexei? Yes, Matthias? What does the desert do? Ha! Well, a wise man once said that each city receives its form from the desert it opposes. So the desert marches on the city, Matthias. It always has, and it always will. But what would happen if the desert got in? Well, the desert wants everything to be the same as it is, and the best way to turn something that isn't you into something that is you is to eat it. So the desert would eat the city, the towers, the palaces, the people, even the goats. Even the goats. It would eat the whole city in a single day and turn everything into sand. So why doesn't the desert just eat the walls so it can get into the city? Because it's afraid. The walls are high and it can't see over them, so it doesn't really know what's on the other side. It knows the walls are real because it can feel them, but the city beyond the walls could be just a mirage. There might be another desert inside, a stronger, hungrier desert. Well, there might be nothing. Nothing? Nothing. Just a big black hole that goes on into the earth forever. And if the desert were to climb over the walls and fall into the hole, it would just keep falling, down and down and down, pulling itself over the walls as it fell, so that eventually, after 100 years, the entire desert would vanish into the hole, and the sea would return to the plain, and we poor men would bob around in our little boats and hope for an island to come along and feed us. What happens to the people who leave the city? How do you mean? Well, when people leave the city and go into the desert, what happens to them? And how is it that people come into the city from the desert? If the desert wants to eat everything and turn it into sand, how can people come and go? Oh, magic. They're protected by magic. You see the men standing at the gate checking the papers of everyone who comes in and goes out? I thought they were just the guards. Well, yes, they are just the guards, but they put a little stamp of purple ink on the passports, and the purple ink has magical properties of protection against the desert. It makes the travellers invisible to the sand. Have you ever left the city, Alexei? What? Have you ever left? Have you ever been out in the desert? All that sand, and the city cruel at his back, and only ever in dreams. No. No, Matthias, I never have. Thank you.